Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Amanda, hi. Could you step into my office for a minute?
Yes!
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Melrose Place. Today's episode is Season 1, Episode 21, Picture Imperfect. And now are your perfect hosts, Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Sarah, she's here.
I really considered sending Dave a clip of the Hallelujah chorus, but I feel like we don't need it. I feel like listeners are just singing it already. We agree.
Yes, people on Twitter have been counting down along with us for the episode where Amanda finally graces us with her presence. But much like this entire season, we still have some bullshit to get through before she arrives. So,
yes.
Let's deal with the C-plot. Rhonda wonders if she wants to be with Terrence again. Terrence, as you will recall, runs a restaurant and he wants a pastry chef that he knows to make their wedding cake, whereas Rhonda says that her mother wanted to make the cake as her gift to the couple. And Terrence fully laughs in Rhonda's face at the idea of her mother making a cake for 200 people. And Rhonda's like, 200 what now? Because she had told her parents that the wedding was going to be intimate. And he wants the wedding to be about them, not what their parents want. And she agrees, like, oh, how is it going to be about you if there's 200 people there, my dude? But fine. So then Rhonda's later worried about looking grubby for a mysterious meeting at a faux Tudor house that Terrence promises is not dressy, but is, it turns out, a house that he wants to buy them. I am about 75% sure that the interior is the Noah Hunter house.
I thought it was the Azarian house.
Oh, maybe.
Could have been both.
Could indeed. Rhonda's extremely weirded out by the idea of him buying them a house, especially one that is that big for just the two of them to live in, but chokes down her concerns and says it's beautiful, frowning over her shoulder. Yeah, no, it's whatever. It's fine. Once again, Matt's function is to tell Rhonda to tell Terrence what she actually wants instead of just going along with what she thinks he wants, if she loves him, which we're supposed to think she's not sure she does. And then finally, they're at a boutique on Rodeo Drive looking at wedding invitations. He, being Terrence, can tell that Rhonda's shut down. And when he begs her to talk to him, she announces that she's not ready to get married. Like, maybe you're just not ready to get married in 2 weeks, which is what we heard the timeline was when Jane was fitting her for a wedding dress. Like, all of this planning is not congruent with a 200-person affair, by the way.
No, it isn't. And also, if you're sort of shuffling her off stage right, then just do that.
Don't create interest.
Like, that will not work.
Right.
But please free these actors from this dumb storyline and this show. Thank you.
Well, it seemed you would think that's where it's going. However, I've looked into the future and know it's not. But for now, she gives Terrence's ring back and that's where we leave it for today. Moving on to our B plot, which I had thought based on reading the episode description was that Billy's got another clinger. But it's more like Billy's too, quote, nice, unquote, to quit dating a woman he doesn't like who also doesn't like him. Here's the situation. At Shooters, Michael tells Billy about Lydia Perkins, who is a nurse at the hospital. Michael wants to set them up. Billy is not impressed when the best thing that Michael can say about her is that she's sweet. And when Michael adds that she's cute, Billy wants to know what celebrity she looks like, but Michael refuses to answer. Billy wants to know why she can't get a real date, which Michael counters with, "Why can't you?" Which, great point.
Yeah.
So Billy agrees to go in his Miami Vice look, which you can see in the visual aids. The woman who plays Lydia will later go on to play fake Elaine in the Seinfeld pilot within a pilot. But for now, how does Billy feel when he lays eyes on her? Well, maybe the score will tell us something. Clip two.
Billy?
Lydia.
Oh my God.
I think that might be the same music they use when people have sex in Roadhouse, the movie.
Yeah.
I think it is. I mean, God, the storyline. I will also note that this is basically the last we see of either Mancini for like an episode and a half.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's not a complaint. Just, no. Just noting it.
Well, I mean, we did get a lot of them when Sydney was there. Maybe too much, some would say.
Yeah, some named Sarah.
Mm-hmm. So over dinner at Benihana, or a copyright-cleared version thereof, Billy tells Lydia that he's into soccer and writing. She's into postmodern dance and is generous to assume Billy knows what that means, and he doesn't ask any follow-ups because he doesn't care. We're also supposed to think she's an idiot in addition to unappealingly mousy because she doesn't know how to use chopsticks, which you can see in the visual aids. She's like using one of each to like pick up individual pieces of lettuce with them, like holding the lettuce between the chopsticks, like what she's holding in one in each hand. It's very weird.
She also does some chopstick stabbing, which who amongst us?
Sure. I mean, I can't use chopsticks either, but, you know, I'm not on a TV show. Billy is trying to be the good dude his middle-class parents raised, but kind of gives himself away in clip three.
Blind dates are the worst.
Yeah, I know. All that anticipation, wondering if it's going to be Quasimodo. And you're thinking, God, what if she's this dog?
Exactly. We're working ourselves up into this frenzy over what, one date?
Oh, whoops.
Yeah. So...
So just
also,
one,
it's
then.
So weird that they're seated like Benihana is a terrible place to go on a date of any kind, in my opinion, because you're seated next to each other and there's all this like, I don't know, it's like going to a movie. Like, it's fine, but if you don't know each other, what's the point? You're just sitting next to each other watching something happen anyway.
Right. Yeah. So she says she won't ask him about the thrills of cab driving, so he says he won't ask her about nursing and doesn't notice or care when she looks a bit disappointed. His favorite thing to do is go to cheesy horror movies. She gets enough horror at the hospital, and they pick up their fruity cocktails to toast to blind dates, neither looking that psyched, which you can see in the GIF that I made in the visual aids. And the next day, Billy shrugs off Allison's questions about the date, pretty sure Lydia isn't going to be expecting him to call. And Allison is so disgusted that when we see Billy next, he's at Shooters, pouting into a very red cocktail as he tells Jake he called Lydia and got himself roped into another date because Allison guilted him into it, basically. And Jake says it's his own fault for listening to Allison, which is true. And Billy thinks Lydia is just as annoyed to have to keep dating him, which I'm pretty sure she didn't want to see him. She was capable of saying no. And yet, when we see them next, they're on their blah second date at her place, where she readily admits that everything she is serving him is from the hot bar at Gelson's. she could do worse. It's called Vaughn's. But she knows that Billy's been stuffing his face for the last half hour to avoid having to talk to her because she's been doing the same thing. And she says it's fine because she prefers men who are more substantial. And Billy says this, clip four.
What do you mean, like fat?
Yeah.
I wish they would just lead into Billy being a total dum-dum because I like him so much more when he's in this mode. Like, it's really not close. In the next episode, he tries to be smart and it's very
off-putting. Oh, yeah. Oh, the pain. The intense pain.
But of course, what she means is more established. And it seems like she could have told Michael she'd rather he just set her up with a divorced doctor at the hospital rather than Billy, because I'm sure there are some, but whatever, here we are. And Billy admits that Lydia isn't his type either, which she knows because she could tell as soon as he first saw her, and they agree to quit wasting each other's time and thus also ours. Thanks, guys. Took you long enough.
Great.
On to the A plot. Enter Amanda. Fucking finally! Woo!
I mean, is this the Amanda that we're used to? Not exactly.
No.
Is she very pretty and could I look at her all day? Yes and yes.
So pretty. So Lucy calls Allison in her insane floor-length skirt into her office. Oh my God,
what the sister wife fuck is she wearing?
Bizarre. You can see it in the visual aids. The other weird thing about this, and we'll get into it like later in the episode, is how long Amanda's skirts are too. In this episode and the next one, it's like insane to see so little of her legs.
I know. Like,
who are you? Anyway, Lucy is 100% projecting I'm about to fire you energy, but instead, it turns out she has recommended Allison to replace someone who got fired last week, and now Allison is going to be an assistant account executive. The pay is not much better, but there's more room for opportunity, and Allison will be working under Lucy directly. They just lost their photographer on the Maximum Advantage account, which in my mind I assumed was the show's version of International Mail, and that turns out to be kind of true, I think. But we don't have time to talk about banana hammocks because Lucy has to call someone into her office. Clip five.
Oh, Allison, you know Amanda.
Yeah, of course. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Well, I'm awesome. How are you?
Yeah, we don't really get a sense of the awesomeness that is to come in that exchange. But, you know, she's here. That's the point. And Amanda is the art director on this underwear campaign and will bring Allison up to speed. So Allison's very excited to get her own office, which Amanda dismisses as a veal fattening pen or what we know as a cubicle. Allison asks about the model, who is a tennis star named Rex Weldon. Amanda tries not to get distracted by how adorable he is and advises Allison not to get involved with clients, hinting that that's why Allison's predecessor got canned. And at Shooters that night, all of Allison's neighbors, including Billy in his latest Aloha shirt, toast her brilliant career. This is where we learn her new job has netted her a whole extra $50 a month.
Like, oh my God. Like, are we in a Flannery O'Connor story? Like, just don't even give the number if it's going to be that 30s. What are you doing?
Although, I mean, I just saw Little Women yesterday. The numbers that they were quoting Joe for her work is like, oh God. Blog posts still pay that much. It's so depressing. Anyway, I'm not kidding. Allison encourages Joe to let her put Joe up for jobs at the agency, and Joe is all about it. And at work the next day, Amanda is struck by Joe's book. May not be a problem that Joe doesn't have an agent and isn't on the list of client-approved photographers that because everyone who is on that list is not available. Blah, blah, blah. Lucy approves Joe. And at the first meeting with the client, Lucy and Amanda talk up Joe while Allison chats with Rex Weldon, who is Mitchell Anderson, pre-Party of Five. He wants her to take him out somewhere fun that night. Guess where she takes him, everybody? Go on. Guess where they go? Did you guess? Did you guess Shooters? Because it's Shooters. The bar she can walk to from her house. He flirts with her over beers, and I guess maybe it's not International Mail. She thinks that she should be modeling. If he thinks she should be modeling Maximum Advantage underwear instead of him, or maybe it still is and that's his thing, but whatever. She very professionally smiles noncommittally and even more professionally takes the check at 7:30. He asks to take her for dinner, but she regretfully declines on professional grounds. And apparently she managed to resist because when we see her next, she's at home complaining to Billy about her principles. And the next morning, Allison bores Billy with her stress nightmares about the day's upcoming photo shoot. This is the first Billy's hearing that Joe is the one shooting, and they discuss that in clip six.
No wonder you couldn't sleep. She'll be terrible. She's difficult. She won't listen. She'll cause all kinds of problems.
Oh, Billy, will you stop it? She's a great photographer.
Okay. All right. Maybe I'm over-exaggerating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Exaggerating has the over in it.
Thank you.
Lego guy is A. B, just because she didn't want to fuck you doesn't mean she's difficult in the workplace. Fuck off. Second of all, get a haircut. Actually, that was third of all, writer lady. He's the worst.
Yeah. I don't know where this is coming from other than, as you say, that she didn't want to fuck him. Like,
yeah, that's, I mean, I'm pretty sure that's it.
Cool. Billy. Then it's the photo shoot where Rex is hamming it up under Joe's direction and all the bigwigs look on approvingly as they prepare to clear out, saying they have everything they need. Joe asks for a ladder, so she's clearly going to keep shooting and no one tells her to stop. Allison's the only ad agency person left, so Joe pulls her aside to wheedle her about opening her mind to ideas the clients will die for, something new for extra credit. Lucy calls for Allison to come with him, and Allison tells Joe to go ahead with her concept, which is to take off the briefs, which is pretty avant-garde for an underwear campaign, but go off, I guess.
She's like, but in one shot, they're in his armpit. Like, I'm not sure you understand what we're doing here, but cool.
Sure. And afterward, Joe brings him to Shooters, poor Rex. Jake is, of course, immediately jealous because he's too far away to hear Joe rebuffing Rex's advances. Joe notices Jake as he's about to walk out and hurries over to assure him that Rex is harmless and beg Jake not to be like this, but Jake can't help it. And Billy, for some reason, is smug about this because he's against Joe in this episode for on all fronts, I guess. I don't know. And later, Allison goes looking for Joe at Jake's place, annoyed that she disappeared right after the shoot and even more annoyed that she took Rex to Shooters as though Allison hadn't just done that the night before. Allison whines that Joe should be home developing film, and then they both hear voices and come creeping around to spy as Joe and Rex come into the courtyard together. And Allison tries to pull rank and is not credible as an authority figure at all in clip 7.
Joe, I thought I'd get a chance to see those proofs tonight.
Relax, you'll get them tomorrow, first thing.
Well, if I were you, I'd start working on them now.
Rex, I had a good time, thank you.
Sure, how about if I just...
Some other time.
Sure. Good night.
Good night. All.
Ooh! Jesus.
I mean... In Allison's slight defense, like, I don't know why Joe isn't taking this more seriously, given that she's been trying to hustle to get her foot in any door this whole time.
Yeah.
But also, like, shut up, Allison. If the deadline is tomorrow, the deadline is tomorrow. Like, give her a break.
Yeah.
The next morning, an extremely clenched Allison shows up at Joe's apartment door, apparently at a shockingly early hour, or, well, Joe is still in her pajamas anyway. Joe is not that psyched to talk work since she was up all night per Allison's orders, but invites her in. And Allison starts hinting around for details about what happened between Joe and Rex after Allison left the shoot, which Joe does not volunteer. And Allison tensely reminds her that she has a lot riding on the shoot, and Joe reminds her that she does too. And Allison then loses it in clip 8.
Then why did you go out with Rex?
What does that have to do with anything?
It's unprofessional behavior. Amanda was talking about this exact thing just the other day. You don't socialize with the clients or the talent. It is just not done.
Who is Amanda? Family post of advertising? We went out to dinner. He was good looking. I was curious. He also happens to be a bore.
He asked me out too, you know. I said no.
Yeah, he told me he went out for drinks.
Yeah. But the point is,
I don't follow anyone else's rules. I'm sorry if that makes you uncomfortable.
I guess you don't care that it makes Jake pretty uncomfortable, too.
That is between me and Jake. Allison, what is this about?
I'm sorry.
I mean... Allison is being ridiculous. Joe does not work for the office. Like, her those rules do not necessarily apply to her. I mean, there might be consequences in terms of her not getting hired again, but that's for her to bear.
Yeah. But then, from Allison, get used to it, because that's her entire character for, like, 10 years.
The whining. Jesus. So after this extremely embarrassing display, Allison gets a status check on the slides, because it's the past, and slinks out. And then the slides finally show up, apparently late, via distracted messenger, clip 9.
Thank you. Guns N' Roses makes you impotent.
Cool.
Never mind. No great loss.
There she is. Hey, girl.
Yeah, mean for no reason. That's what we want. Truly.
Yeah. Our queen.
So as Allison puts the slides on a light box, she is shocked to see that in everyone she looks at, there's no underwear at all. So she races straight home to yell at Joe, who wearily says she didn't do it to embarrass Allison. She also, I guess, didn't do it with an eye to getting booked again either, I guess. Clip 10.
I made a professional judgment between some conventional, boring work that any hack could have turned in and something fresh and original that I liked. It's basic, Joe. We are selling underwear. He wasn't wearing any. Now, maybe Rex's rear is fresh, but this is advertising, and the client likes to see his product. Well, you see, if you were paying attention, you would have seen that in some of the shots that were down by his ankle and in other shots, he had them right here on his hip. Are there any slides of the regular shots? Oh, you gotta admit, he had a pretty cute tush. Joe, this is not funny to me. This is my job.
God.
I mean, can they both be wrong? Because that's how I'm feeling.
Honestly, I mean, this is not Allison's best side. And no. It might be best for them to part ways forever. Obviously, I know that they won't. And it's logical that there be someone in the complex that would have cause to work with an ad agency a lot. Doy. But like, both of you have a lot to learn about how this relationship is supposed to work. And you're bad at this, both of you.
Yeah. Also, just don't book your friends for this shit. Sorry.
Yeah. So under duress, Joe hands over the shots that actually look like underwear ads, asking Allison if she doesn't agree that they aren't just expected, whereas the ones that she turned in are surprising and witty, and Allison has to admit that they did grab her and would have made her laugh if she wasn't so panicky about her precarious new position. Allison finally, Allison's, in clip 11.
Look, I am not an artist. I admit that. And maybe I'm more conventional than you thought I was, but I do what is asked of me, and I try to do it well. Maybe that's just the way I was raised, okay? But didn't you like the weird shots? I mean, just between you and me? Those weird angles and the nudity. Isn't part of you like the unexpected? The work was good. I never said it wasn't. It's not what they asked for. But if you like it, you take a gamble. Joe, this is business, and I am new. Well, one way to stand out in the crowd is to be honest. What is the worst they can say is no? No. They can do a lot worse than that. They can fire me. Well, you have the ones that they wanted. It's your choice.
Why is the
I don't
show...
know why this is up to I don't know why this is up to Allison at all, though. She's not the art director. Like, as long as there are shots where he is wearing underwear, like, just give the client the ones they want and be like, and if you want to go a little weird, we have these two as an option. Ta-da, you have choices.
Yeah. Anyway. I just don't know why, first of all, why the show is positioning Joe as like this iconoclast, like,
right.
I don't know, shooting an athlete naked. What?
I know.
Whatever. And second of all, like, I don't know. Why is there this, I am about to reveal that I almost died of an eating disorder music happening at the end of the scenes? Like,
yeah.
Guys, this is a work conflict between 20-somethings who probably don't know how to handle this kind of situation yet. So... Mm-hmm. Can we bring down the there's something about Amelia music cues, please? But no. At least it's not the sex guitar. yet.
Right. Yeah. Yes. I don't know. I don't get why the show is trying to make us take Joe's side on artistic grounds when we know that she has no other work prospects and should be trying harder to get in good with an ad agency that could be throwing her work all the time.
Yeah.
Like if she impressed them on her first time out, you know?
Yeah.
This is dumb. Anyway, Allison, of course, doubts herself and tries to get Billy to back her play with Joe's risky photos, but he is also an idiot and he won't. Yet, at the office, Allison is whining her hardest as she tries to get Allison or Amanda on side with regard to the naked shots in clip 12.
This is for sports briefs. Guys in locker rooms roll on deodorants. Athletes' foot. And you're doing this whole European number.
Oh, I think we all know what that means.
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
Somewhere Matt's like, I'm interested. Anyway, Allison claims she hasn't actually decided to do anything yet. And Amanda tells her to do what the client wants and play it smart. Cut to the client meeting where the two male underwear executives are very happy with the very female gazy slash homoerotic photos we've just been told are supposed to be selling underwear to straight men. But okay. Lucy asks Allison if that's all, and Allison decides to roll the dice and show some of the nudies, too, and the clients are aghast. Again, if they have a bunch of shots they do like, there is no problem here. Whatever.
Yeah. Take the W.
Right. So Lucy babbles apologies and tries to claim that Allison was just kidding, telling Allison through gritted teeth to stick around for a while before directing the clients back to the first shots they liked. And Amanda looks at Allison with a throat slash motion. Love so it. Good. Obviously, it's in the visual aids.
Yep.
So what happened when Lucy asked Allison to stay? Well, she thought Joe's nudie shots were creative and innovative and showed that Allison had courage and imagination. She just lacked judgment. So she's not fired. Allison's next assignment is for a sausage link client. Joe is not getting anywhere near them. See you in a few years on 90210, sausage ad campaign. Later, Joe brings Chinese food over to a pissy Jake. He is sick of her screwing him over and then rolling up later acting like nothing happened, which, you know what? Fair. She does do that all the time. She says that's fine. They can make up rules for their relationship together. She cares about him so much it scares her. She missed him. They kiss, blah, blah, blah. And downstairs, Billy opens the door to Amanda. Unlike the first time he laid eyes on Lydia, evidently he does know he likes what he sees this time. Obviously, Amanda is used to this reaction and just smiles and says she's looking for Allison. Billy confirms she lives there and introduces himself unprompted. She reciprocates. He offers to let Amanda wait for Allison while she's out for a run, but she was just dropping off their next account. Allison never mentioned them to each other. Isn't that funny? And Billy tries again to get Amanda to stay, maybe for a drink, but she declines, but is amenable to a rain check because she'll see him real soon. And that's where we leave it. She's here, everybody.
It's happening.
Let's close it up by naming our MVP. Amanda!
Yeah, get used to that one, too.
Yeah, as you say, she's not fully herself yet, and she really isn't in the next episode either, but at least like she's bringing a different kind of energy to the show, thank God.
And she's really, really almost selling being attracted to Billy.
Oh, God, if anyone could.
Yeah.
Least valuable player. Allison with the whining. I swear to God, I can't.
Joe, fucking pictures fair. And shut up. Don't make me agree with Billy.
Billy's Aloha shirt.
Yeah. Next time on Again With This, Ambassador Matt tries to fix Taronda. Joe and Jake gross out an entire restaurant before finally doing it, and Allison is a pill about Amanda and Billy's growing flirtation. You'll need a pill for nausea when you check out the visual aids for this and every other episode of Again With This. They're on our website at againwiththispodcast.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at AWT90210. And you can support our Patreon at patreon.com/againwiththis, where any level of support gets you extra episodes. I'm Sports Brief Sarah D. Bunting, and I am on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is European number Tara Ariano, and she's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer is professional judgment, David T. Cole. Talk to you next time.